Welcome in. Wednesday live chat. We have a lot to talk about. I appreciate you guys being flexible with me on the time. I originally thought this was going to be very early in the morning. I was able to move it back kind of closer to our original Wednesday time, but here we go. The next hour, the next 70 minutes, the next 90 minutes, I don't care, is yours to talk about all things golf, all things sports. It's a Mecca week. Right? Vegas is hosting both the Super Bowl and LIV. There is a buzz outside. We've got Phoenix Open. It just feels like golf season right now. A lot of people are paying attention. So we'll go through the questions and answers. I do have to apologize because it looks like both YouTube and StreamYard this morning removed the comments and questions from yesterday, which stinks because I saw there were a lot in there. I don't know if there's something I could have done. So my bad. But now the first questions are coming from like 2 or 3 hours ago. So that's on me. Or I guess it's not on me. I just don't understand why I did that. All right, let's jump into this. So we're going to start where we always start. And bear with me. I'm doing this from my laptop, so I don't have multiple monitors and situations. So it might take me a minute to get adjusted to this. So let's talk about the weather. The forecast for Phoenix, or excuse me, Scottsdale, you know, relative to normal Scottsdale stuff, it's going to be a little chilly, going to be a little bit rainy. Okay, Thursday, you've got a little bit of rain in the forecast, a third of an inch. You've got these winds gusting a little bit up to 10, 15 miles an hour, going to be, you know, lows of 39. If you've been to Scottsdale, if you've played desert golf anywhere, when that sun's not up, it can be a little bit chilly. Right, we saw that last year. As soon as the sun gets down over the mountains, temperature drops pretty significantly. The Friday looks pretty good, partly cloudy, all that good stuff. And then you're going to get a little rain on the weekend. But is there a wave advantage here? I think that maybe you could argue that the afternoon wave. These gusts are really from like 9 to 12, 9 to 1. So really, I think the afternoon wave might get more holes without that wind if this is perfect. That's asking a lot. So it's possible that there is no advantage, but that's the way I would lean right now. I don't think it's super crazy. Okay, let's get to some of these comments here and jump in. Chad ends up with our first comment. So it says, if price wasn't a concern and it's just about taking a higher finisher, are you taking Scotty or JT? It probably has to be Scotty here, right? Both with incredible upside. By the way, this is my website, rickrungood.com. Basically, everything you see from this point on will be from my website, rickrungood.com. Scotty's floor is so high. Even when he loses 3 strokes putting at the Century, finishes T5, even with the American Express, losing another stroke in an event that's not set up well for him, T17, Pebble Beach on a golf course that takes away his ability to drive it off the tee and gain there, which is what he did. Lost. I mean, we pat on the back, kind of nailed the Scotty Rory situation last week, and Scotty still finished T6. That's how crazy good he is. Losing strokes off the tee for the first time since the Century of 2023 over a year ago, which kind of we knew the driver would be neutralized. So the floor is just so high. As much as I love JT, I've bet him this week, but Scotty is the answer to this question, Chad. What does Shane Lowry's last 36 profile look like? Interested in seeing approach play. Okay, so there's a couple different ways we can do this. Let's just go to the power rankings here. We have 36 taken care of. We'll just sort by approach play. We've got just the field for the Phoenix Open loaded in, and we are going to find Shane Lowry. Where exactly are we going to find Shane Lowry? Have I scrolled past him? Well, let's search for him. 0.15. So 0.15 on approach would put him about, it's about middle of the field, a little bit better. Dylan Wu, Martin Laird territory. So actually his approach play has been in the last 36, the worst part of his game. Off the tee has been better. Around the green's been the same. Putting has been slightly better. So his approach play has actually been the worst part of his game. I will pull up his stat profile here because I want to see this in action. Yeah. So he gets a knock because, you guys hear me say this a lot. If you're only looking at PGA Tour stats, you're missing a ton. RickRungood.com has 6 different tours, including his strokes gained stuff on the DP World Tour. So he lost 2.4 strokes on approach at the DP World Tour Championship, including each of the first 3 rounds pretty significantly. Let's see. It's a little bit of a mixed bag, but his average is pretty reflective of that. How have to pick two and one and done. Burns, Minwoo, Sahith, or On? Burns, definitely. And then I would probably go On. It would be close between him and Minwoo. I think Sahith would be a fourth place finish here. My favorite Rick. I don't know many other Ricks. I think my favorite value play this week is SH Kim at 6,500. Can you dive into that a little bit? Yes. Can we turn that air down?
Yeah.
It is like really cold. It's blowing right on me. Sorry. Amina's going to turn the air conditioner down here. Okay. So here's SH. The problem that I have with SH for this week is he is a constant loser on approach. I mean, we're talking 1, 2, 3, 4 strokes on approach nearly every single week. If you read my newsletter for this week, if you read my article on rickrungood.com this week, if you looked at the models, approach play is really important. To be able to access, and I guess I should be showing my screen, that's on me. To be able to access these pins, to be able to separate yourself from the field, approach play is critical, and SH is not a very strong approach player, which is already going to likely hinder his ability to finish closer to the top. If you're looking for somebody else at $6,500 or somewhere around there, let's see if we can find you a little bit of a pivot here. You know, long-term Neesmith is better than a lot of guys on approach. He's just been a little bit erratic in that category as of late. Reeves down here, again, he's got Arizona ties, right? And great approach play. Not a ton to love, but SH does worry me with that stat profile just a little bit. Can you do a deep dive into Sam Burns and Matt Fitzpatrick? Burns looks to be in better form currently, blah, blah, blah. Okay, yes, sure. Let's do it. Sam Burns is probably the guy that I have warmed on the most. I'm not sure if anybody's going to ask that question, but Sam Burns is probably the guy I've warmed on the most. When I look at this stat profile, I see him doing, for the most part, what I want out of Sam Burns, which is approach play, a putting. Approach play, putting. He has not been as good on approach as lately as he has been historically, though we did get 2 good rounds measured at Pebble Beach. The results are good. 10th and 6th to start his 2024 season. He finished 33rd in Maui. But if you look at his Phoenix stuff as well, you get a T6 last year, a T22 2 years ago, has gained on approach in 4 straight, has had a massive putting week in 2021 and gained strokes putting last year. He gained across the board last year. So Burns is probably the guy that I've warmed on the most. Fitzpatrick kind of gives me fits, no pun intended, although I guess pun certainly intended on that one, because he should be and has historically been such a well-rounded golfer. And now we're seeing the opposite of that. We're seeing him lose strokes across the board at Pebble Beach. He misses the cut at the Sony. He loses big on approach at the Century. I don't know what we're getting here. This is not the consistent version of Matt Fitzpatrick that I would like to see. So for me, it's a pretty clear Sam Burns spot. Who has the most birdies per round average and bogeys per round average for past WM Opens? I probably should have an easier way to do this, but if you go to the Holy Grail, go to fantasy stats, and then you go to birdies or better and go like last, I don't know, since 2020, we'll go to this course, TPC Scottsdale. Scotty, no surprise there. 5.5 birdies or better per round. Yeah, it is per round. Okay. Kitayama, 5.25. Sahith, 5. Taylor Moore, 5. Other guys with big sample sizes who do it a lot. Billy Horschel, Justin Thomas, Sam Ryder, Wyndham Clark, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Who do you trust more, Sungjae or Fitzpatrick? Probably Sungjae, though it is a little bit close. Can you go over the one and done projections? Yes, which is, I knew somebody was going to ask that, so I already have it fired up here. This is the site-wide selections at officefootballpool.com. They look at every pool that they have available, and they aggregate the selections across, and they show it to you before the week starts, which is pretty crazy. So Justin Thomas, number one, 25%. Sam Burns, number two, 16%. Then nobody else above 9%. Sahith at 8.7, Ricky Fowler at 8.2, Ben On and Scottie Scheffler at 5.5, and then JT Poston at 4. This is a really good time to remind you that a lot of this is pretty dependent on who you've used, who you haven't used, how big your pool is, et cetera. I've been using this Pool Genius tool. There's a link in the description, which has been free for the last couple weeks of their first couple weeks of the year, where I consulted on this tool, right? So they built it. I consult on this, and they've added a lot to this. So for example, this is the one I've been showing every single week. So I've already, it knows because I put my picks in that I've already used Ludwig, Eric Cole, Tony Finau, Scotty Scheffler. It knows how many people are in this pool. It knows all that stuff. And my best options for this week are Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, Benny On, maybe a little bit of Sam Burns. There's you can see these grades here. So this is dependent on the size of your pool, any payout, oddities in your pool. They've updated, they've added this now, they've added the season planner, which shows you the purses and the prizes that are remaining. So like the biggest prize anybody can win all year is $4.5 million at the Players Championship. And it starts to give you short lists of golfers for those top prizes. Then it kind of gives you your second tier of golfers to consider, your third tier. So I love this. Obviously I've had some say in it. And you could put as many of your one and done's in here as you want. So it's been a really great tool. So a lot of these one and done questions are dependent on your position and things of that nature. So I recommend you checking out that tool. The link is in the description. It's very, very good. And there's more to come. So, let's do this. Here's a deep dive on Siwoo. Okay, sure. Let's go to that. Let's go do that here real quick. So, what is Siwoo up to these days? Is he being crazy Siwoo? Not really. So he's got half the battle, right? The approach play. We want approach play. We want putting. He's got the approach play. He's gained in four straight pretty significantly. The results are fine. Bunch of top 25 finishes, all good there. I think he's still using the broomstick putter. Don't quote me on that, but I think last time I saw him, he was. And it's not really going so great, is it? Generally losing on the putting surfaces, not awesome stuff. So I think you could do a little bit better here. It's going to depend on how much he is able to roll the rock. Spieth and Ryder or Wyndham and Glover? Spieth and Ryder. That is, to me, not even remotely close. Can you think of any guys off the top of your head that seem to do well with bad course correlation? Cam Young, Eric Cole. Those are the first two off the top of my head. Have you had time to put together a card last week? Also, great call on getting Clark early. Yeah, that was actually, that was brought to my attention by somebody in the chat, and we kind of talked through it. And it was like, if we think there was this LIV conversation, if we look at his long-term form, if we think you want to be early or late, you definitely want to be early. This could be a good spot. It ended up working out. 54 holes, a lot of chaos, whatever. Here's my card. Don't let me spend your money. Go spend your money however you want. I've bet Justin Thomas at 11-1. I've bet Kurt Kitayama at 80-1. I have bet Tom Hoagie at 110-1. Those are the three bets that I've made. I have two wagers on LIV as of right now, which we can talk more about later because I don't really love my LIV card at the moment, but I bet John Rahm at 5-1, which is probably stupid. I should have taken Brooks Koepka at 14, and I have Dean Burmeister at 22, which is also pretty stupid because you can get him at 25 right now. So I hate my LIV card. We can talk about that a little bit later. They're in Vegas. I'm steps away from LVCC right now. I love that golf course. I want to talk about that. So we'll get to that in a little bit. Any trust in Jake Knapp this week? The answer to me is yes. So Knapp is one of the grads from the Korn Ferry Tour last year. And if you look at his results from the Korn Ferry, it is him. Let me zoom out a little bit so you can see this. Zooming out or piling up a bunch of top 10 finishes. T7, T8, T7, T5, T13, 5, T13, whatever, all that stuff, right? And then, kind of gets started on the PGA Tour, makes the cut at the Sony, misses it at the Amex, and then he does something really, really special at the Farmers. And I sent out an email about this. To gain strokes across the board in a single round, all four categories, is pretty rare. It's happened 90-something times this year. No one's done it more than three times. Jake Knapp did it in all three rounds at Torrey Pines. So no one's done it for consecutive rounds. Knapp has done it for three in a row. That is certainly not going to mean he's going to do it every single round, but I do think this is indicative on a really tough golf course of how good he is. So yes, I'm a pretty big Jake Knapp believer for this week. Rick, are the prizes in your one and done league better in a higher level? No. So I thought everybody should be on level playing field. No matter what division you're in, the prizes are the same. I also did pull the first January drawing winner. There's a video of me drawing that winner in on the rules page if you want to go check that out. Just trying to do my best to continue to support that. Does high ownership sway your one and done pick away? It depends, Kyle. At this point in the year, probably not. It's very early in the year. We have a lot of tournaments still to go. There's a lot of money still to be won. I'm not super worried about high ownership until we get later in the year. I'm either playing my position, trying to front run, or I'm trying to come from behind. At this point in the year, probably doesn't matter. When choosing a court for DFS, are you more concerned with ownership on the higher or lower price golfers? It depends on what you mean by core, Chris. If you are going to play this core in 60% or more of your lineups, I probably don't care about ownership that much anyway, because I'm going to be way heavier than the field on the high owned guys and super, super high on the low owned guys. The lower price, the higher price doesn't really matter to me. I generally try to build a core of golfers that I cannot live without. It doesn't matter to me what their ownership or what their price is going to be. Do I have more trust in Cole as a first timer or Hadwin and Fowler with course history? I'll just show the Ricky Fowler stuff because we are in Phoenix and he's got a great run around this place. And I know that's getting a lot of attention. He's been miserable. I'm sure he will tell you the same thing. I'm not breaking news here. There are a few red flags in golf, and one of them is Ricky losing his putter. Horrible sign. The last time he lost his putter, it spiraled into a multi-year slump. Okay. I'm not kidding. So it was the American Express in 2020, which would have been here. And then right here. Okay. So then he comes back end of 2020, starts losing this putter. It's over. This is the slump right here. And then when he finally breaks out of it 3 years later, look at what's green again. Putter. I mean, just he rattles off like 25 out of 30 weeks in a row. And now we're back to losing again and losing in a big way. That is very, very concerning to me. And I'm going to need to see something a lot different before I move on. Spieth and JT to both finish top 20 at plus 210. Your thoughts? JT, great. Spieth is pretty erratic and worries me. Thoughts on Sahith for first round leader? And then there's a question about thoughts on immediately Sahith finishing inside the top five. So here's the thing. This is not on paper a good course for Sahith, right? And the fact that he's been able to have success kind of breaks that a little bit. He is, to me, a volatile golfer. So I don't love the top five stuff as much as I love the showdown stuff, the first round leader, the micro access to Sahith as opposed to the larger exposure over longer periods of time. I almost just spilled that all over myself. Sorry if you're listening to me gulp my coffee. My bad. All right. Question about Carl Yuan here. Very good off the tee. I agree. He's got a couple of decent finishes, Bermuda and the Sony Open. Team no putt. Okay, sure. This isn't bad. I just think that there's a lot of risk. If you're looking for a lot of risk, Carl Yuan's a good guy. Will drive it well. Might hit it well on approaches. No guarantee of that. If he does that and putts to a zero, he probably finishes 11th. Right? Something like that. If he gains a stroke with the putter or two strokes with the putter, he might finish inside the top five. But there is a lot of risk of him missing the cut here. There's a lot of risk of him. There's five holes with water in play off the tee. There's a lot of risk there. Is it fair to compare Wyndham Clark to a poor man's DJ? It's not fair to DJ, I don't think, that has just found a success a little bit later. Wyndham Clark's stat profile is pretty clear. When he became a plus approach player, his career changed. Now, he also credits a lot of the mental game and all that fun stuff. But, I mean, was always a very good putter, could always drive it well, hit it far, was a constant loser on the second shots. And I guess maybe you're applying this to when DJ figured out his wedges, he became the number one player in the world. And sure. And when Wyndham figured out his irons and wedges, he won a signature event, won a major championship, and then won another signature event. So he still has a long way to go to catch DJ, but I guess I understand what you're saying. He did unlock the one thing that is going to allow him to win more golf tournaments. How does Hisatsune stack up here if we can snipe him last minute and ownership is the next replacement? Yeah, so as I'm aware, he's the first alternate right now. He's not in this field. And if he were to get in right now, I don't think DraftKings would add him. So you will probably not even be able to get him at low ownership because he probably will not be added to the field. DraftKings usually does like the one update, the Tuesday update on your Monday qualifiers or whatever. And that is generally it. Rick, headed to Vegas for a bachelor party in May. What courses would you recommend playing? Hoping to get two rounds in. Highly dependent on what your price point is, highly dependent on how far you're willing to travel. I would say for a bachelor party, Bally High is probably really good. They cater to that type of thing. It's on the strip. You'll have a blast. Might be pretty expensive for non-residents. People either love that course or they hate it. If you're willing to travel, go to Paiute. It's about 30 minutes off the strip, three different golf courses, phenomenal shape. Red Rock Arroyo wouldn't be bad. There's like so much. There's just so much. Can you do a deep dive on Scott Stallings? Sure. Scott Stallings has actually played better in his last couple of starts, and he's got a couple of back-to-back top 25s here, I believe. But what you want to see out of Scott Stallings is a profile that looks kind of like what he's doing right now. He is a plus approach player. Great. He is a all-over-the-place putter, which is fine if you're going to catch him on the right week. He can lose five strokes putting like he did at the Scottish Open. He can lose back to back, 3 weeks in a row, 2.5, 1, 3.5, or he can gain 7 like he did last start at the Farmers. So you're basically getting the baseline of him being a pretty decent tee to green player, reliant on the approach play, the ability to get hot with the putter. Let's see what he's done here putting wise. I think he's got at least back-to-back top 25s. I want to see what those metrics are. Yeah, again, kind of all over the place. So finished T23 last year, losing a stroke and a half putting. Finished T21 in 2022, gaining 6.5. Probably not. That's probably not going to happen again. We need something in the middle of that. So I think there's a very wide range of outcomes for Scott Stallings this week. One and done, Burns, Akshay, or Sungjae. I think this is Burns. Favorite play under 6.8K. 69, I like a lot more, guys. 69 gets you Knapp, gets you Bjork, gets you Davis Thompson. 68 gets you, doesn't even get you Ryder. 68 gets you Sig, which would be okay. 67 gets you Stallings, which we just talked about it as kind of like higher risk, higher reward. But if you're looking at that, God, those are probably your best options. I'm waiting for the Joel Damon breakout. What has Joel Damon done with the putter here? He's been not good. And obviously he's got the Scottsdale ties. He's still a solid approach player. You can see it on his metrics here. The putter has been really bad. Let's see what can he putt these greens at TPC Scottsdale? Not particularly. So that's tough. All right. Well, I tried to find you an extra guy. Couldn't do it. Okay. Really quick. Bear with me for 1 second here. I need to remind you, and this is, it feels like one, you know, like I get to be done begging you after this week. So starting tomorrow morning, you need to be in two different things if you want. This is your last call. So there is a $2,500 one and done, which I understand is a lot. But this has been the biggest request that I've gotten since starting these one and dones on Splash is higher buy-ins. Because $2,500 over 28 events is like $89 an event. A lot of people spend that. A lot of people don't. If you're interested in that, this one and done is already over $500,000 in the purse, which means first prize is probably going to be six figures. There are payouts for segments. There are payouts for longest cut streak, most top 10s, most wins for guys who don't finish inside the top 20. There's payouts for finishing dead last. So there's a lot of ways to get some money back, even if you don't win this thing. The link to that is in the description. It starts tomorrow. It runs through the Tour Championship. Also, on Underdog, we'll get to Underdog in a second or in a little bit, but the season-long best ball starts tomorrow, okay? So this is your last call for that. Go draft your season-long best ball teams. They just dropped major championship contests as well. So we'll get into those. But like, you got to go now. The link is in the description. Use the code Rick. That'll also get you a deposit bonus. We want to support those because we want more of this stuff. Okay. That's all. We'll talk more underdog in a little bit. Hi, Rick. A few guys you didn't mention Tuesday that are modeling well and have strong power, fairway and regulation trend scores. A brief comment, if you would. Eric Cole, Bez, Montgomery, Billy Ho, EVR. Okay, that's fair. I spent a lot of time talking about Cole. I spent a lot of time talking about, we spent a little time talking about Montgomery recently. Bez definitely popped up at some point on, he's playing a lot better than I thought. Let's do Billy Horschel, because Billy Horschel also showed up on that like pretty big sample size of golfers who make a lot of birdies or better here. And I want to see what we can find on Billy Ho. Sorry. Boy, you know, the metrics are kind of better than the results are, right? Missed cut at the Farmers, where he lost 4.5 strokes on the North course. My God. But he gained 1.2 on the harder course in round two. American Express loses 1.5 at the Stadium course, then plays better, still misses the cut there. That's not that fair. I mean, the guy gains 1.5 strokes to the field because of the course rotation and misses the cut. Sony Open, he gains 5.7. That's only worth a T18. Gained nearly across the board in every single round. So that is way better than the results indicate. These metrics are way better than T18 cut. That is for sure. Played decently well on the European Tour. Let's look at his Phoenix history. Yeah, it's really good. That's why he's made, I mean, he's played here a lot. And he, you know, T32, T6, T53, T9. Hasn't missed a cut since 2014. I think Billy, is he sneaky? Is anybody like playing Billy Horschel? How much is he? Where are you, Billy? No. Wow, I'm still scrolling. 7,100. Amongst the likes of EVR, Luke List, Michael Kim, that might not be so bad. That really might not be so bad. 8% projected ownership. A lot of mixed reviews on Burns this week. Seems to be solid with irons at TPC courses. Hasn't had a round over par. I'm in on Burns. I'm in on Burns. Can we trust Hideki with a 13th at Farmers? He's in good enough form. God, Hideki's terrifying, isn't he? Every time they show him, he's missing a 3-footer. Let's look at it again. So you saw T13 at the Farmers, T71 at Pebble, where he just coughs it up with the putter constantly. I mean, he lost 7.2 strokes. If this doesn't even count, I mean, we didn't even get his Spyglass round where he lost 4.6 strokes to the field. This is really bad. It's really, really bad. Look at this. But just over his last four starts, he has a minus 10, a plus 3, a plus 7, a minus 7. That is a 17-stroke difference between his worst and his best tournament. Though here he's been nothing short of spectacular. I will probably sit this one out on Hideki. And if he burns me, he burns me. You going to do a live chat for Live Vegas? No, I do one live chat. We'll talk about Live Vegas here in a little bit because I do want to show the course. I like that, but listen. The Monday show and the Wednesday show is enough for me. Looks like there's more than a buzz outside your window. I don't know what you guys can see, but there's a lot going on out there. Okay, we did Lowry. Let's see. Okay, yeah, I don't love wearing the top button, but I do this for you guys because I've got the lav mic on and it's heavy. I don't want it to droop down the collar here. I don't like wearing this. I am gonna suffocate, but I do this guys for you. Okay, that was like three questions in a row about Liv. Here we go. So let's do this real quick. If you read my newsletter for this week, which you should, it's absolutely 100% free. Links in the description. Go sign up for it. I put in this overhead shot of Las Vegas Country Club. LVCC is not desert golf. Okay. I know it's easy to be like, oh, it's like, no, this is an old school tree-lined golf course, very old school. I love this place. Those trees are going to be a problem, right? A lot of them hang into fairways. The other thing is that the roots of those trees actually extend out, you know, a lot farther than the branches do. So even if you have kind of a clear shot, you might run into a root issue. They're old tree. Like it's a thing. You have to drive it well. There's a lot of subtle turns off the tee. You have to shape your shots if you want to find fairways. And it's pretty demanding there. I also played this golf course about 2 months ago, and they were already growing out and getting ready for this, the rough. And the rough was pretty gnarly then. Okay. So I think it's going to be pretty important to play well off the tee. That screams John Rahm to me, right? The other thing it screams, the problem with John Rahm though, and I could not find, you know, I don't know what sports books are doing with LIV or not. I could not find LIV lines on DraftKings Sportsbook. I had to go offshore to find them. If there's a regulated book somewhere in the US that's dropping these, please let me know. Maybe it's, I don't know, maybe I just missed it, but I did not see it on DraftKings Sportsbook. I think it's probably silly to have bet John Rahm at 5-1 like I did when Brooks Koepka is sitting out there at 14-1. And Brooks Koepka was electric off the tee in Mayakoba. The other thing to consider is Dean Burmeister. And I'll show you Dean's profile here. Because again, if you're only paying attention to the PGA Tour, you're missing out on what Dean has been up to. So he went back to back in Europe. He won the Joburg Open and he won the South African Open Championship back to back weeks. Then he finished third in Mayakoba last week, and his skill set is just crush it off the tee, right? If we go back to some of his PGA Tour metrics, he's a very good driver. He can move the ball out of the rough. I'm not worried about any of that. So Burmeister would be like my longer shot option, because I think driving is going to be really important this week. And then if you want to use the tool, so I do load in. So I've got the salaries for LIV. I've got them for Qatar loaded in here, or at least I might have to refresh this. If we just sort this by last 36 rounds, and we can just do like just LIV rounds, right? I think that might be more reflective of who the best players on LIV are. Like Cameron Tringale has been playing pretty well. The sixth best player over the last 36 rounds, he's gaining a stroke per round. I believe he's got Southern California ties. I don't think he has Vegas ties. Jason Kokrak drives it well as well, and he's gaining the eighth most strokes per round in the last 35 on LIV. So there's a couple of decent options. I think you're going to have to drive it well. That's long story short. Okay. Let me get back to my questions here. Hey, Rick, how often are you including fantasy points when you are running a custom model? Probably not enough. I mean, that is the scoring that we're using. I should probably use it more frequently. You should retype it, Brent. So yeah, I could only see comments from, it looked like it refreshed from the last couple of hours ago. So if you put a comment in from like prior than 3 hours ago, it's no longer here. Adam Scott, Ben on, JT, sit atop my playing too well, not to win soon model, betting them weekly until they win thoughts. In on JT, Ben on winning, I have questions about. I think he can do it. I hope he can do it because I've played him now, or I've you know, run him out in a couple of one and dones. I hope he can do it. I still have questions about it, especially when you miss a 4-footer a couple of weeks ago to seal up your win and you end up losing. That's always a little bit concerning. If you are going to bet Adam Scott, which I do not mind at all, he's been great. You need to bet him this week and you need to bet him next week. Okay. So look at what he has done. And again, including European Tour. If you're like, what are you doing if you're not signed up at rickrungood.com? Gained 7 strokes at the BMW Championship on approach. Plays well in Bermuda. Plays well at the PGA Championship in Australia. Plays well at the Australian Open. Plays well at the Dubai Desert Classic. All of those are top 7 finishes. T20 at a signature event last week in which he gained 4 strokes ball striking. Has played in Phoenix like one time. Okay. But look at what he's also done at Riviera, which is where we're going to go next week. the win in 2020, the fourth in 2022, the runner-up in 2016, T10 in 2013, constantly gambling. Last year was by far the worst year he's had. And the decade before that has been splendid. So I don't know if it's until they win, but if you're betting Adam Scott, it's Scott this week. It is Scott next week. And then we check from there. Good morning, Rick. Who's the producer's play of the week?
He who's dailing it, Adam Scott. Scott's dailing.
She says TPC Scottsdale stands for Adam Scott. Rick, I'm torn from my last spot with 7,300 left. I already have Kitayama. Who would you suggest from 7,300 to 6,900? Ideally, someone with low owned and high upside from 7,300 down to 69. Low ownership, high upside. Tom Hoagie, probably. Let me just confirm that that would be where I actually go. It would probably be Hoagie or Lashley, believe it or not. But let's look at Tom Hoagie real quick. I did bet him at 110 to 1. So, I mean, I think so. Well, that's his Riviera stuff. You might. Okay, so maybe it's this week and next week for both Tom Hoagie and Adam Scott. Okay, look at these approach numbers. Oh, my, Tom. So it starts with the BMW Championship in Europe, plus 8.5. Plus 5, plus 1, plus 3.7, plus 1, plus 3.4, plus 1, plus 3.7. Yeah. T6 in Phoenix, T17 at the American Express. I said Phoenix, I meant Pebble Beach, because I was thinking about what he has done in Phoenix, which is a mixed bag. Missed the cut last year, but lost 3.5 strokes putting. The four starts before that, he has gained a combined 6, 10, 11, 12, like 15 strokes putting. It's Hoagie month. Did you guys have Hoagie month? Hoagie Fest. It's Hoagie Fest. Hey, Rick, let us know how your live experience goes. I'm going when they come to Nashville in June. Okay, yeah. So I have zero idea what to expect here. So I'm obviously going to live Las Vegas next week. I said if they ever got close, I'd have to go see it for myself and can't get much closer than a mile away. So yeah, I'm going to go see. I don't know what to expect. I think the golf is going to be fine. I'm interested to see what the rest of the experience is. I meant tomorrow. Sorry, I'm going tomorrow. Who do you prefer between Akshay and Harmon? Probably still Harmon, though I do think it is a little closer. We have looked at the one and done percentage. Can we see a head-to-head matchup between Mahomes and Purdy? My pick is the Chiefs. I don't know much about football. I just know that when you have a quarterback who can kind of will a team to victory, and it matters a lot. I'm going to roll with the Chiefs. I don't even know who the favorite is. The Chiefs, I don't know, but it's probably pretty tight. For showdown purposes, is it better to go off 1 or 10? I'd have to pull up a tool that I've not released yet that I'm hoping to release for next week that would be too much for my laptop right now. So Dave, let's save that question for next week. Super Bowl question. Great. I'm sure I'll be great at this. Squares in only 25 units, 4 score combos per buy-in. Better EV to buy 1 unit with 2 people or 2 unit with 3 people, 1K, 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 1K final. I don't know. I'd have to, again, run the numbers, and I cannot do that on my laptop right now. Hey, Rick, Survivor Golf is back right now, but last week there was no cut event. You are on a roll. I don't even know I'm picking these. Okay. 4 for 4. Wow. Hostler, Rio, Rye, Norin. Let's keep this going. Give me your top 2 picks to make the cut. But wait, I can't pick Scotty and JT, right? Because that would be, we're going to use them some other, we're going to use them at major championships or something like that. I didn't even know I was picking these. So I guess I'm picking these now. So 2 to make the cut. All right, let's go with, God, I'm so tempted to say Berger's name. I think I'm buying Berger, but in your situation, you should probably not be doing that. Hoagie. Yeah, that's probably pretty good. Let's say Hoagie and Ryder. Did I pick Ryder yet this year? No, I haven't. I think that those would be pretty good options. I'm just trying to see if there's anybody else that I would want to swap out there. I mean, Adam Scott, I guess, would be like the highest I'd go, but you, I guess maybe you wanna save him. When the Corn Fairy guys came up, you were high on ADDC, but Knapp has been the successful one. Is there anything good we can see from ADDC? Or is you just going to keep disappointing? Yeah, we can pull him up here real quick. It's yeah. First off, he's been not good, right? Adrian, I got to figure out how to spell his name. Here we go. Dumont de Chassé. It's been three starts. Three starts to start your PGA Tour career does not make you, but I agree that this is pretty pathetic. Right? It's miscut, 75th. Is there anything positive to glean here? He's not horrible in one category. He's kind of all over the place. I don't know if that's good or bad, but it's early. We'll see. When using the Pool Genius tool, okay, the suggestion says to use your X best golfer remaining. Is this when filtering the pick grade? Okay, so good question. So when you use the tool, it says, for example, you want to use roughly your 22nd best remaining golfer. So when you look at your ranks, that's what it's talking about. Okay. So they're ranking everyone in the world, not just guys in the field this week. So it is saying that, like, as of right now, the best golfer that you could use, or the 24th best golfer that you can use, if there was an event that had every golfer in the world in it, would be Sam Burns. So you'll see that is why your suggestions here, the green ones, are basically between your 24th ranked golfer and your 34th ranked golfer, because it's using how good they are, how big this purse is, and then looking at their betting odds and a variety of other factors and scoring them. So that's what it means. It means based on their rank. So if you just sort by pick grade, this is what I do. If you sort by pick grade, it's already in there, right? So that's already taking into account Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, like it's already doing that. So that's what it means. It's pretty cool. Have you always been a top buttoner? Only when I do the lav mic. No other situation. Trust me, I'll let it flow, Ryan. I'm happy. I'm happy to let it flow. I'll take my shirt off. This is a production thing we're working on. Jake Knapp or Lee Hodges. Ugh. I mean, Lee Hodges is replaceable, right? Jake Knapp is probably replaceable, but we don't know yet. So I think it's Jake Knapp. Right. Lee Hodges at this point is a pretty known entity. I have a one and done question, says Oliver. If I don't believe Scotty can putt well enough to win a major this year, should I use him here at his ownership? No, you should probably use him at a different signature event, right? So, you know, the majors aren't even the biggest purses anymore. So couldn't you use him at Riviera, where tee to green play is highly valuable, and if he finishes and he's going to make the cut, there's no risk of that. Could you use him at Wells Fargo or Travelers, or, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's not, this purse isn't that big, all things considered. So I would probably just use him at a different signature event. Can you do a deep dive on Jordan Spieth? Yeah, all right. Sure. Why not? He's my favorite play this week, but also worried about his current form. That, buddy, that's the Jordan Spieth experience. You've just described it. I'm worried too. The dude is pretty bad off the tee and sprays it all over the yard and is not even putting well on a consistent basis. He misses a lot of shorties. I don't know, man. I think he is somebody that is very easy to get wrong. He's lost strokes putting here in four out of his last five trips. It doesn't even really stop him from finishing that well. He's got two top sixes in that stretch. I am probably cooler on Spieth than average. But I do not feel confident in being that cool. Is Hubbard legit? Pretty sure he is. All right. I finished it so that we can be done with it. All right. T4 at Pebble Beach. Little reliant on the putter. Sony, little reliant on the putter. Farmers, he did better, gained 8 strokes there. This is pretty legit, right? He's not going to do it all the time, because if he did it all the time, he'd be Justin Thomas. But he is capable of gaining 6, 7, or 8 strokes on approach, which is what he's done 3 times in his last like 9 measured starts, okay? He is also capable of gaining 4 strokes with the putter. This is pretty legit, especially for someone of his salary, his expectation. It's pretty legit. I have a huge bet on EVR. For what? To win? Just wondering if you have anything huge. Well, I guess it would be huge if Hoagie won at 110-1, or Kurt Kitayama for that matter. DK has a +300 boost for an outright. I'm between Scotty at 4.5 to 7.5. Okay. JT at 11 to 14, Burns at 22. That is probably... It's up to 250, my reasons. Okay. The best use of the boost is to boost Scotty, right? We agree with that. You're basically doubling his odds or getting close to that. The difference between a 22 and a 25 on Burns is not that big. So I would probably go with Scotty. Don't let me spend your money though. Do you have a strategy for props? Okay. Let's do this segment about Underdog.
Roof, roof.
That was weak. That was so weak.
Sorry, I'm tired.
That was incredibly weak. There we go. That was much better. Okay, thank you. So here is the pick 'em stuff. So I did tweet out, how do I get off the rivals here? I think I got to zoom out. There we go. I did tweet out some props that I liked yesterday. Let me pull those up real quick. Now, I don't know. I know these lines move somewhat quickly, so I don't know if they've moved or not, but I did list my reasoning for liking these. And the original question was like, you know, do you lean any specific stat? I think strokes is a little bit more predictable than birdies or bogeys or something like that. But I just look for edges. So it was Cole higher than birdies, Sungjae higher than birdies, Burns lower strokes, Fitzpatrick higher on bogeys, and Minwoo lower on par 5 score. That's what I did yesterday. So, and you should probably split those up. All getting all 5 of those right is a 16.77% return. You should probably break all of those up. But I don't necessarily lean... I do think strokes is a little bit more predictive, right? Also, I think the biggest edge, though, I think where they get it wrong the most is birdies and bogeys, because I think that Underdog does a decent job. I don't think that they do a great job of understanding the scorecard. So, and that's with respect. I love Underdog. Obviously, I partnered with them for a reason. This week in particular and the back nine is really... You can make a lot of birdies and you can make a lot of bogeys. Okay. So there's, you know, you look at the two of the three par fives are just like play to like a 4.4. If you don't make birdie on those, you're kind of screwed. So like responding you two anyway. And then there's, you know, a very short par four on the back and all that stuff. So I do think the like 2.5, like it would be pretty easy to make 3 bogeys in a round and still shoot a pretty good score, especially if you're Sahith, who is a kind of volatile, loose with the driver. He finds, finds one water, gets in trouble somewhere else. It's not that unreasonable for him to make 3 bogeys and still shoot a good score. Hideki, right? I mean, Hideki is there a Fowler on here? Can I just pick on Ricky Fowler? I guess I should probably search his name, but I'm now like committed to the scroll. Oh boy. I didn't see his name. Okay. Oh, there he is. Okay. But it's three. So you'd have to get to four. You have to get the hook there. Okay. So Sahith 2.5 bogeys is kind of interesting. I do also, I mean, there's so many more picks now. We've got greens in regulation now. That's so good. I do like the par five scoring as well. I mean, Cam Young, they hit seven fairways. What I also like is they've got the rivals, which I realized a couple weeks ago that you can put in here. So, for example, like Sungjae over Matt Fitzpatrick, give me that. Give me Hoagie over Eckert. Give me Scott over Siwoo. Could those guys be any more different? Wyndham Clark over Hideki. Oh, I like this. That's 20 to 1. That's 20x right there with Sahith and the rivals. Or you could get rid of Sahith and have it be 10 to 1. I don't know what I don't even know what the question was anymore, but those are some good options. Also, make sure you get your best ball stuff in. You know, my favorite part about Underdog is they've, when we chatted in the offseason, I kind of asked for a commitment to a golf product, which has been something that has been really lacking around the industry. And I guess for good reason. And they said, yes, we are going to commit to golf. And they have completely surpassed that expectation. I mean, just constantly adding more props, doing the best ball for season long, doing the best ball for majors only. I want to reward that. I want us to reward that. I want us to have access to things like this. I want us to continue to be more innovation. I want to support this. There's a link in the description. The code is Rick. Use it, go sign up, go play. Because I really like the tech that they have. And I think they're doing a great job of creating a really good product. Okay. Sorry. I don't know if I got off base there, but that's very important to me. Okay. is there a vibe check formula that you could use in the Holy Grail to determine the golfers that play the best in relaxed formats? No, but I'll look into it. Let's see. I see Bez had a horrible outing here last week. I think you mean last year. Does he get a better look? All right, let's do the Christian Bezuidenhout stuff, because I'm not sure if I talked about him on Tuesday on the first cut or if I talked about him on Monday, but his stat profile is a lot better than I think most people would realize. He used to be incredibly reliant on the putter alone, and now he has put together four really good ball striking weeks in a row, including, again, European Tour stuff. Third place finish at the Alfred Dunhill Championship, second at the American Express where he got the full payout, even missing the cut at the Farmers, but T20 at Pebble. Like, this is great stuff. So now he's an approach player and a putter, which is the two things we want this week. So we got to roll him. We absolutely got to roll him. I am not in Phoenix this year. I've obviously got ties to Vegas. And with the Super Bowl here and CBS, like, everyone's in Vegas right now. You know, there's only a couple times a year that I get to meet in person with other people in the industry. It's how we do some of the deals that have come together, like, you know, with Pool Genius or with Underdog or whatever. It's like very helpful to be in person. I would love to be in Phoenix this year. I am not. I'm in Vegas for Super Bowl. CBS is here. There's a lot of people in town. I'm going to go to live. It just made more sense to be in Vegas for this week, but I hate that they're the same week because I would love to. Rick looking alive and healthy today. Is that different than any other day? Do I usually look dead and unhealthy? The last two out of four events have 3 6K guys in optimal. Yeah, the optimal app's been very, very low, like low salary, like $44,000 was last week, I believe. Already talked about Tom Hoagie. Okay, how about this? We have not done a Corey Connors conversation. I feel like he hasn't even played. Although I do think he's going to pop up and show. No, I was thinking about somebody else. Well, boys, vintage Corey Connors, truly vintage Corey Connors. So hit from RSM Century Sony Open, he goes +5, +6, +5, ball striking, -2, -5, -4, putting. Vintage Corey Connors. What has he ever putted well in Phoenix? Can we find anything to give us hope? He's gained 2 of his last 3, lost 3.5 strokes putting last year. 5.5 out of 10. What's the upside? God, he's so bad with the putter. I mean, this is just so on brand. Bet him to finish inside the top 10. Out of curiosity, could you make a version of your custom model to essentially do what Pool Genius Tool does? Would love to strike out golfers in the model for one and done purposes. I mean, one of the reasons that I've helped consult with the Pool Genius guys is because I don't think it's going to happen on the custom model, but probably not. They're going to do a better job on that tool. Just go sign up for that. What's your favorite? Oh, favorite toughest hole stretches. Amen Corner is obviously awesome. I do like the Bear Trap, right? That's Honda. Where, because the fact that you get 2 par 3s, I think, is fun. And also there's just a ton of water there. The Undertow, which is what they call the one at Torrey North. And those are the ones that come off the top of my head. A lot of questions about Tom Hoagie, which we've covered a million ways. Okay. This question comes up somewhat regularly. So it says, is there a way to have a minimum lineup exposure when creating lineups using the custom model? So no, but I'll fix that, right? It's on the list. What some users have been doing is they will change the max ownership to whatever they want. So if you say, I want a minimum of 35% on Scottie Scheffler, change his max ownership to that, and then change his value to like 999 or something, and it'll force him into that many lineups. I understand that is not the same thing, and it opens up a couple of other things, but some people have found success doing that. Who is the best February regardless of tour? I would have to pull that. Is Nick Taylor a crazy outright pick? No, Nick Taylor held his own here last year, and I believe he is playing better now than he's ever been. Are we still going with Team No Putt? Yes, I believe so. Questions on Knapp, I've already answered that. Do you have a historical tournament optimizer where an optimal weighted average is built out based on last year's top 10? That is in the works. These are just comments that people are talking about. Okay, quick question. Does the tour championship, okay, this is for the $2,500 one and done. Does the tour championship tourney incorporate the assigned starting strokes? Yes. This is the, let's refresh this and see. We were at 203. We're still at 203. Nobody's joined in like the last 5 minutes. So this is now over $500,000. In the purse right now. So first place is probably going to be, it's almost certainly going to be over 100 grand, right? So first place is going to be like 100 grand. Second is going to be 75. That's if it stops right now, which is pretty freaking awesome. Ben Cole's deep dive. Yeah, sure. Sure. Let's see what he's been up to. Missed cut the Farmers, 47th. Yeah, a little bit of a slow start to his like full PGA Tour career here. The good news is where he loses the most, I think, is kind of the least interesting for this week, right? He loses around the green. These greens are kind of big. You can hit a lot of them. And then he has been good with the putter and he's been bad with the putter. I don't really care if you're historically bad with the putter. And also, I mean, to lose 2.3 at Torrey South, not a big deal. To lose 2.5 in 2 rounds at the stadium course, not a huge deal. Played, you know, putted better in Sea Island, putted better at Wailea. I think he's all right. Nothing crazy, but not as bad as those last two rounds or last two starts. Okay. We are at the bottom here. I'm at the end. Let me think if there is something that, okay. So here's what I'm going to do. In the next 30 seconds, anything you want to talk about, put it in the chat. I need to make sure that I've covered everything that I need to cover. We talked underdog. I told you it's last call for underdog for best ball, although I think those might be full already, but go get your matchups and your picks in. Links in the description. Last call for splash contest. Oh, I did also mention, I think people have been, I didn't mention this. I think people have been very tied to the big one and done, because we are very behind on filling the tiers contest for this week. It's not even halfway full. This is guaranteed. So there's going to be it seems like there's going to be an overlay. It seems like there's going to be free money. It's $20 entry. You can get 5 entries. The tiers, you pick one golfer from every tier. I already have my picks in, obviously. So you can go get in that, take advantage of some overlays. I don't think we're going to fill it here no matter what, which is a little bit disappointing because they've been guaranteeing it for us. But I know there's been a lot of other focus as well. I did weather. I did one and done ownership. I did all that stuff. Let's see if anything interesting just came in. Not really. No offense. No offense. We've already done a lot of this stuff. All right. I think, God, there's so many people here and I want to keep talking about more stuff. I don't know what I don't want to end it, but I'm not interested in doing like random deep dives of Justin Suh, Nick Hardy. Nick Hardy's been bad. Justin Suh, desert golfer, can get hot with the putter. I just wish, no offense, but I wish there were better questions. Is that on me or is that on you? I don't know. All right. Well, I tried. All right. This is going to be a great week. I'm very excited about it. I'm stoked for everybody. Thank you all for bearing with me on a what's for lunch? I just had a big breakfast. I just had 3 chocolate chip pancakes downstairs in the lobby. That was pretty good. Appreciate you guys bearing with me on everything and stoked to have you all. It's going to be a great year. I know people are just turning their attention to golf right now with football winding up. My handicap is currently 7.3. All right, guys. I appreciate you. I have nothing else. I want to keep doing this. I do this all day long, but I guess I'm going to have to stop at some point. Okay. Best of luck. See you guys.